Studio 360.
Like anybody else, I didn't totally love adolescence, but I actually liked high school. There were 750-odd kids in my class, each class, but it was only 5 minutes from home, and the size of the school actually allowed me to be anonymous when I wanted to and get away with things I might not have at a smaller place. I was friends with the freaks and the geeks and the popular kids. And after my sophomore year, this is the early 70s when they started giving kids anything they wanted, I no longer had to take PE or any more math classes. I also had some really great teachers, such as the one who taught me English my junior year in high school. He assigned us essays by Emerson and Henry David Thoreau and Walt Whitman. And he didn't teach Emerson and Thoreau as if transcendentalism was something that would be over our heads. He was smart, and he kind of assumed we were smart and held us to really high expectations and did all that with a sense of humor. Sir.
Hi.
I have to, of course, force myself not to call you Mr. Sedlacek.
Well, Kurt, how are you doing?
I'm well.
Oh, good. Good to hear from you.
It's great to talk to you as well. It has been a while. You taught me 1970, 71 when I was a junior. Was that your first teaching job?
Yes, absolutely. Yep, I was fresh out of school. I graduated in 68.
Mm-hmm. Huh. And, of course, therefore you were what, 25 years old when you were my teacher and seemed like this old, wise man to me?
Well, thank you for that. I think that if anything could have attributed to that, it would have been the reading that I did in high school. I think I read Plato's Dialogues. I read Plato's Republic. I knew I was going to go to college, and I thought, well, I'd better start preparing. And so I got a list of 100 books that students ought to read to go to college. And so
wow.
I started just going through those books.
So that's interesting. So you were the sort of self-taught intellectual of your small town in Nebraska.
Well, I don't know about the intellectual thing, but in that respect, I was self-taught. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
I remember West Side being a great place to go to school, and I felt like I was as well-educated as a high school could be. This may be wrong. My memory is that some of the teachers were like, you know, it was 1970. They were growing mustaches and long sideburns and maybe wearing bell bottoms.
Yep.
Didn't you wear a jacket and tie every day?
Yes, that's right. Yes, I did. I wore a suit and tie jacket every day.
Yeah.
That was a matter of circumstance, I guess. At the time, I was more or less engaged to my current wife, and her sister's husband was an executive in a local natural gas company. And he would, as he outgrew his suits or, you know, got a little frayed collars on him or something like that on his shirts, why all of his stuff would sort of end up in my closet. And so I ended up with a pretty good wardrobe, and that's what caused that suit business.
Huh. So you – well, it struck me, again, it added to my sense that this is a grown-up. This guy's like my professor, you know.
Well, yes. I thought that was proper attire.
Yeah.
You know, I really did. I wore a suit and shirt at least until the day I retired.
Right. And again, you were in your 20s. You're younger than my children are now.
Yes.
And so this is your first job. You'd been doing it a couple of years when I got in your class. This is going to sound self-centered, but like, did you have a sense of like, who's this 16-year-old kid? Was I snobby? What was I like?
No, not at all. Not at all. It was... I viewed you as I recall you as being a very, very serious, very sharp, alert, intellectually acquisitive gentleman. Actually, you know, and I thought in your eyes, I could see the processing going on behind your eyes as you took information in. You you were associating it with other things. It was a tying together, I think, that made you such an exceptional student and led to your success, and you know your the success that you've had,
Very, very nice to hear. Now I think we're done. No, we're not.
and on a high note,
I do. But the thing I remember again, in addition to your suits, was there was a sense of rigor that you conveyed, and a sense of high expectations. Yeah. There was a seriousness to the enterprise along with a sense of humor, you know? Is that what you were intending?
Well, no. That's okay. That's just the way it turned out. That's the seriousness. I don't know where that came from. When I graduated from high school, I had opportunities to play football at two colleges. Huh. But I chose not to take advantage of those scholarships because I thought when I went to college, I was preparing for a profession, you know, and I didn't think I'd make it as a professional football player, and I wasn't sure I wanted to. And so I just chose the academic route and stayed with that, you know. And as far as the humor goes, I think I got a lot of that from my dad. He was always joking around.
Yeah.
He had a lot of fun.
Well, and it wasn't even so much that you were joking around, but there was a kind of glimmer in your eye.
It's hard to read philosophy seriously and take yourself seriously.
Yes.
You know?
Yes. Yeah. So we studied American literature. The things that I remember sort of having my mind expanded by that you taught us in particular were Emerson's essays and Thoreau's essays, Walden and On Civil Disobedience. One of the things is that it wasn't just, let's read this book and analyze this and it's literature. It was also a course in ethics and philosophy and morality.
Oh, yes. Absolutely. Absolutely. I think you have to carry everything to the level of personal values, or else there really isn't any value in reading literature, because literature in its finest sense is a reflection of the culture in which it's written. And that's why you have to have some distance between the work of art and the culture. You have to have some chronological distance to be able to get a sense of what's really valuable. And it's valuable because it expresses the current culture and it leads at the same time. It sees what's coming down the road.
Well said. But what have you been doing for the last 44 years?
Oh, gosh. Teaching a lot in school. The frustrated English teacher always wants to get involved in writing. And so I started a novel in 1996.
Have you kept up your writing?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I finished the thing I started in 1996. I finished this last winter, finally. Yeah.
Congratulations.
Well, thank you. It's really an exercise in growth. You know, it really is. And it's so much fun to say at the beginning of a day, okay, this is what I'm going to get done in this chapter. And by the third sentence or by the third bit of conversation, you have your characters running off into an entirely different part of the forest, you know?
Yeah. One always hears authors say, well, the characters took off on their own. There was nothing I could do.
Yeah.
Until you do it, you don't understand. That seems like some fakey thing,
yeah.
But there's a truth. What is this novel? What is the setting? What is the basic story?
Oh, well, you know, the first novel is always about your past, and so
yes.
It's set in the—
So it's your buildings roman?
Yeah, yeah. It's set in the 1950s in Nebraska, and it's about one person's failure and another person's growth from that failure. Husband and wife, the husband fails. It's you know, they're growing out of the sort of mythology that you have to be a self-sustaining sort of wealthy farmer to be successful, and growing into the business about personhood.
Well, when you decide you're finished enough to have other people read it, I'd love to read it.
Oh, you're kidding. That would be a grand thing.
It would be my pleasure.
Oh.
Gary, this has been a huge pleasure, and I'm grateful for the opportunity to tell you that you know, you made a huge difference in my life.
Well, I'm so happy. You know, that's the goal of every teacher. That's the bottom line, is to help people understand something better than they understood it before, and to use that understanding and carry forward. And I'm so happy that you found something in a class that I was the administrator of to move forward with. That's a great thing.
I did indeed. And thanks. And I can't wait to read your opus.
Oh, well, thank you. I'll be happy to send it to you.
Great. Thank you, Gary.
Yeah, bye.
Bye. I talked to Gary a year ago, and as promised, he did send me that manuscript, which I just finally finished reading. And I was delighted to find that it's a lovely piece of writing, a surprising story about regular Americans, but in this very singular place and situation, and a novel of ideas. It's terrific. It reminded me a little of the novels of Annie Proulx and Richard Russo. Here's hoping that Gary finds a publisher and then you can read it too.